from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show, 1-800-955-5567 is the number. On Wednesday, June 21st, a little bit after 7 o'clock. It's actually 7 o'clock. If you'd like to text the show because you can't get through on the phone, you can always do that. Just text FHF and then your question or comment to 68683. And you can always follow us on social media and our website, FHF Show, on all social media, FHFShow.com for the website. Become a VIP so you can watch the show every single day. And you want to watch it because we have a very special guest in. Paul Schaefer, longtime music director for David Letterman. Let's get him in here.
Where's Paul Schaefer?
Oh, there he is.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi,
how are you doing?
What's up?
Hi.
Good to see you. I'm Frank. Nice to meet you, Paul.
My pleasure.
Look at that. Walk over to the key.
Look at that. Do you recognize that?
Your instrument there.
What a party. Who's this cat?
That's Eric right there.
Hello, Eric.
Very nice to meet you, sir.
Put a little bottom on my voice and make me sound like Barry White.
All right. Let's see what our producer can do.
Let's see what happens.
Can we put a little bottom on Heidi, too?
Let me try.
A little more bottom.
Let me try.
I didn't get blessed.
There you go.
Hello, baby.
You know,
it worked.
Whoa.
I love what you're doing to me.
So
you have a keyboard here, too. I'm just trying it out.
Yeah. Play with it.
Excuse me?
Play with your organ, Paul. We want to watch.
You know I am. I need more sound on it, more level on it, though. There we go. Yeah, so good morning.
Good morning.
Good.
Are we on the... this is what radio is
this
today.
This is what radio is today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a mess.
I like it.
It's a mess.
You guys are making a mess of it. Who else would have me on?
Right.
Early in the morning.
Well, we happen to have a Kurzweil in the studio. We're like, hell yeah.
Yes, I know. This is a beautiful instrument. You brought this in for me.
Just for you.
Did you bring it from home?
Yeah, we bought it last night.
Uh-huh. I love it. Good.
You get to take that with
you. Bollocks Music City.
Frosty does the show with us normally. He's not here today, but that's his instrument. He says he is
Frosty is a keyboard player?
Yeah, he owns 13 keyboards. How many do you own?
I don't know, but it's obvious that he stayed away because I was coming
in.
Well,
he was intimidated.
He was intimidated, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's send him out of tune.
Because you know he's listening.
What is he like?
What
does he like?
He was a big Elton John fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I know.
That's all you got. Yeah,
it's a little bit.
That's good stuff, though.
Yeah. That's for you, Frosty.
Now, you're going to be performing at the Saban Theater with the World's Most Dangerous Band. It says here that there's been a 24-year gap since your first album with the band. So
they must have liked us so much that they asked to do another album 24 years ago. We're playing this Saturday night, though, at the Saban Theater right here in Beverly Hills. And the World's Most Dangerous Band was the band. That was the first name that Dave Letterman called me and my... I had a four-piece band when we started in the 80s on the David Letterman show, and he called us the World's Most Dangerous Band. I think it was like, he said there was a wrestler in Indiana when he was growing up, the World's Most Dangerous Wrestler, and it was apt for us. We loved the name. Then we had to leave the name behind when we switched networks and all that, all that kerfuffle with the Late Show Wars.
NBC's got it, and they're not even using it.
That's right. And then it was Eric Gardner, is my manager, and he said, you know what, I'm going to give him a call. I don't think anybody was even alive, any of those execs at NBC, when that Late Show was. And he was right. They said, we don't remember, just use the name. So we are back as the World's Most Dangerous Band. Special guest star, Valerie Simpson. Oh, my goodness. This is a woman who, with her husband, Nick Ashford, wrote every song that we love. Reach Out and Touch, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. I mean, one could go on and on and on.
So you're
going
to play all that stuff Saturday night.
She comes out and does a mini set of all her hits, Solid as a Rock, Ashford and Simpson. In the middle of my show, she comes out and ups our whole game, and it's fantastic.
A mini set for her, though, is 12 hours long.
Well, she's got a lot of hits. I mean, You're All I Need to Get By. That's one of the ones she does in the show. And special guest star this Saturday night only, Martin Short. My dearest friend from Canada, a local cat, you know. When you come to Hollywood, you have to go and kiss this guy's ring. But he is coming to us. He's coming down to the Saban Theater and going to do a little number.
Dressed as Jiminy Glick.
We hope so. Well, he carries the padded suit around with him, you know.
Yeah.
If you want it, you got it. No, I think he's going to come out as himself, but he can sing, you know.
Yeah.
He can really sing, and we're going to do a little something together, and that'll be a special treat for the residents of Beverly Hills.
How long have you been playing keyboards? Like, as a young boy, your mom made you take piano lessons?
Exactly. That kid is going to be musical if I have to... And I was about 6 years old.
Did you ever hate it?
I didn't want to practice my lesson. Right. Not at all, you know. But because it's a... This is the, you know...
Yeah, very first
this
day.
This is my childhood. How would you like? Anyway, until I heard rock and roll on the radio. And then it changed everything. And I wanted to play that. And I started learning it by ear, learning how to play. You only needed three chords back when I was a kid. You know, you could play every song.
Yeah.
You know? One of my favorites had four, though. 100 Pounds of Clay by Gene McDaniels. Do you remember that song?
I don't remember.
I'm going back.
No. You are going back.
Maybe we'll hear it.
He took 100 pounds of clay, and then he said, hey, listen, I'm going to fix this world today, because I know what's missing. And he rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began. He created a woman and lots of loving for a man. Anyway,
never heard it.
I used to. Well, that was a big hit. Well, who was her? You know, we kids don't even remember Britney Spears anymore, and I'm going back to Gene McDaniels. Anyway, that was me as a child learning these songs like that off the radio, about one chord at a time, you know, and then I could play, you know, then I could play all five chords, and I could play Burt Bacharach songs with five.
Right.
You know, and that's how I started out.
Did your mom ever say, now, what are you in there playing? Now, play something nice.
No, she
liked it all.
You know, well, she was that kind of mother, very encouraging. And I would come home after school and instead of practicing my piano, I'd sit down at the piano and play for 3 hours. Rock hits, you know, greatest hits of the Four Seasons. You name it. You know, I was on top of it. Del Shannon, Runaway, you know. And she said she'd be cooking dinner at the same time and said, does it have to be so loud?
She's like, yes, Mom.
And I said, yeah, you know, it's rock and roll. It does. And she said, okay. And she never said another word.
Now, where
about
was the piano in the house? Was
well,
it in
we
the
had a big
room?
Rec room. We had a big, you know, rec room with a big high ceiling. And I would go in there. One time they had a disco party. This is like the first round of discotay, you know, and when Killer Joe was teaching all the society ladies how to dance in New York. My parents were into this. Up in Thunder Bay, Canada, you know, let's have a discotay party. And I had to get them a go-go dancer, which I did. I knew a girl at school who was dancing a little bit. Uh-huh. We brought in a table. She would stand on the table. Dan and I play for all my friends. And I remember saying, coming into my mom, I got to go to bed. She said, one more set. You know, I said, it's 3 a.m, Mom.
Your whole life's been one more set.
That's right.
One more
my
set.
Parents, exactly. Just one more set. You know, we want to dance. Oh, we want to. So that was my upbringing.
Paul Schaefer in studio with us. He'll be performing live with his band, World's Most Dangerous Band, this Saturday at the Saban Theater. For tickets, you can go to Ticketmaster.com. You mentioned Dave being from Indiana. Heidi and myself, we're from Indiana as well.
No kidding.
So, yeah.
We met out here, and we're like, where are you from? Oh, Indiana. And then we learned that.
David Letterman being one of our home state idols as far as being in broadcasting. He started out in radio like we did. And
Ball State.
Big fans of his.
Now, well, you say you met out here. Are you an item, you two?
Oh, my God. You don't think I could do better than him? Paul Schaefer. Shame on you.
We're lesbians.
No, but we've been together for what? I mean, 17
years together.
Doing this show.
Well, you're basically married.
Right.
Yeah, Dave and I were together, you know, 33 years between the two networks.
He's my work husband. Almost I'm his work wife, you know. It's 17 years, no sex.
But tell me if this is true, because I know that if...
Like a marriage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If this show, the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show ended today, and we went our separate ways, I don't know if I'd be talking to Heidi on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly.
You hate her? What are you
saying? No, but I mean, as far as, like, I spend so much time with her, like you spent with Dave. So like now, well, your relationship with Dave, do you guys talk weekly?
Well, we do now. Yes, we talk all the time, and we see each other, you know, every 3-4 weeks or so. But but when we were doing the show, yes, we would kind of save it for the air.
Right,
you know, we blow all our
conversations. Hang out the weekend. You know, we're like, this is what we do every day.
Yeah, not so
much.
Not so much, but you know, I would certainly see him. But yeah, I mean, the shows mount up, and there's another one every day. The daily schedule is something. You guys get in here so early.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So you don't, you know, what time do you go to bed?
8:30. I go to bed at 8:30. I dinner around 4.
Exactly. Beautiful.
Mean,
the
I'll
early bird. So you are the early bird of the early bird special.
Yeah. Right. Yes. It's no fun. You can't get in any trouble.
I know Dave has a ranch in Montana.
Yes,
and
yes.
And he grew out the beard. Like I got
like
going
yours.
On right
you
now.
Have a beautiful beard.
Yeah,
yeah.
Going on. Is he enjoying the retirement? Does he miss the show and call you?
Oh,
up
I
and
think.
Still...
Well, I think we both miss the show. Yeah. You know, and when we get together, we talk about things that really only the two of us have in common because we did it longer than anybody else right. has done it so far.
What do you guys think of late night TV now? With the
it's a different era. It's all great. We love all of the new hosts, but they have changed the medium, obviously, and it's a little more like a variety show in some of the cases, which is great, you know. Dave used to say, I can't do what these kids do, you know, but then again, nobody will really be able to do what he did.
Never. Exactly. Who was your favorite? Like, if I think back to the David Letterman show, and I was always, when it was Letterman Leno, I was always a Letterman girl. He's from Indiana. We're from Indiana. Loved Julia Roberts' appearances.
Yeah, of course. Of
I mean,
course.
I thought she was like, I mean, he had her on. Well,
they
bunch,
had a chemistry, you know,
right,
she was a
time.
Lot of fun and
yeah.
she got into the spirit of the show for
totally.
Sure.
Totally. I love, like, when she was on, I was like, okay, it's going to be a good
absolutely
night. Who was your
kind of a family member. I don't know if I had any favorite. I mean, obviously, my mind would go to the musical guests
right.
and strangely enough, always to the first couple of guests back in the 80s who, because when we came on, it wasn't going to be music every night, you know, right at the very end of the show, there'll be a musical act. No, we hardly ever had music. And a couple of guys started trickling in. James Brown was one, my idol,
yeah.
actually called us back in 82 because he heard me playing some of his tunes. I'm a huge James Brown aficionado, of course. He said, I'd like to come on play with your band. Well, that just kind of
like
kicked everything.
Giddy when you...
Yes, I was. And then when we played with him, he started shaking that ass and singing, you can... I mean, it's
infectious.
Just... We played better than we ever thought we could play, and I don't think I ever got over that. And then the early people, like when the first time Carole King came on, I mean, I was beside myself, such a huge fan of hers. And Sly from Sly and the Family Stone, again, you know, nobody ever thought that he would surface again. He came on, you know, in a tracksuit. Looking healthy and thinking, this is again back at about 83 or
yeah.
something, you know. So I always, those were my favorites, of course. And then Brother Theodore. Remember in the old days, before we could have real guests, I've been reading some of the thing. You know, we followed a guy named Johnny Carson. Now, this is a name from
yeah.
prehistory.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you'd be surprised at the kids. They'd, who?
Who?
Yeah.
Right. You know, he's a guy who was like, weird, wild stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, no,
you'd do
no,
an
no,
ice car, no, wacky, yeah, this yeah. is wacky stuff. Exactly.
Golf swing, come on, kids. You don't know.
But apparently he said, you know, you can't have, to Letterman, who was going to follow him, and you can't have the same kind of guests as I'm going to have. You know, I have Burt Reynolds. You can't have Burt Reynolds. So, Dave...
That kind of stuff really happened.
Apparently
I mean, you
so,
heard it,
yeah.
But-
apparently so. Well, and this was early, too. There was no competition, but there was going to be a guy come on after Johnny, and Johnny controlled that time slot after his. So he said, you got to have other kinds of guests. So that's when Dave had to come up with people.
Stupid human tricks.
Yes, and people like Brother Theodore,
yeah, right.
you know, just freaks and crazy people would come on. He'd interview them straight, you know, and people couldn't believe it. So that was, I think, about him as a funny guy and a certain psychic. I can't remember this guy's name. You know, but I remember Dave asking, who's going to win the Tony? Can you predict who's going to win the Tonys? And he was saying, yes. He says, F. He says, Murray. He was trying to think about F. Murray Abraham, but he just said Murray the K. And, you know, a DJ in New York from the 60s. So Murray the K is up for an apparently Tony Award this year.
Paul Shaver with us, longtime music director for David Letterman. The first concert that you ever attended, I mean, you actually were the...
I think it was as I was a child and Liberace came to play
yeah.
at Thunder Bay, Ontario. Yeah, the grand, you know, hi, I wish my buddy George were here. And he was a great classical pianist who put on a fancy spangled suit and, you know, and went for it.
The girls
and,
went wild.
Yes, the girls were wild. And he would say, I just haven't found the right girl. Of course I'll settle down. And we all believe that. But he was a hell of a pianist and he toured with just like a second pianist, I remember, accompanying. This blew my mind. Another piano player accompanying a first piano player. But that was early. And then, of course, the Beach Boys, right after Brian Wilson stopped performing with them and Bruce Johnston took over bass, they came to my hometown, like on their way through or something, and played a show on a Monday night. Blew all our minds, and I'm sitting there saying, I could be on keyboard. I should be playing
yeah.
that solo in Surfin' USA. I know it. I should be up there, you know. And then we opened for the Animals, Eric Burdon and the New Animals. Now, this is all 60s, you know, 66, 67. But again, a school night, so he went first. And then we went, you know, so the kids could go home to bed because it was a school night. So really, Eric Burdon and the Animals opened for me as a child. And then we opened for the Troggs, too. But this is Canada, you
right.
know, in the 60s. The Troggs, you remember Wild Thing? You Make My Heart Sing.
Of course.
And they, every song, where they, here's a song that was banned in Belgium and it was banned in Denmark. That was one song, you know, and then they do their second song. This one was banned in South Africa. That was his intro for everyone. His name was Reg Presley. Yeah, there they go, Wild Thing. This is rock and roll. Are you kidding? Wild Thing. You can't beat that. Now, this is not in our repertoire with the world's most dangerous band, but it could absolutely be.
Yeah.
We are still playing, you know, the great classic rock and roll songs and R&B songs that we love. And this Troggs, I remember them so well.
Now, you say you started playing at six, and your career, I mean, from 6 years old playing the piano, is still going strong. Was there anything other thing you had a passion in that maybe if, say, the piano thing didn't work out, Paul Shaffer would be a blank today?
Not really. I was in college in Toronto trying to figure out what to do, left music behind.
What did you study?
Didn't how I say sociology, okay, philosophy, right, and psychology. So with psychology, you put a rat in a box, basically, and see what he does. And that was the whole thing. It wasn't leading anywhere. Those are the subjects you take when you don't know what the hell you're going to do with your life. All I knew is that without a band and a musical outlet, I got very sad and depressed and had to sleep all the time. And it wasn't Epstein-Barr disease. I was just depressed until I started playing a little jazz in second year of college. And I cheered right up.
It's your medicine.
I didn't have to sleep all the time. I was happy again. And that's what led me to believe I got to at least try music.
We apologize to everyone who went into the mental health field. You're not wasting your time.
Some parent right now is going, he's in college for sociology.
If you want to, yes, if you want to treat rats and mice, you know, and their addictions, come to us.
Yeah.
You learned some interesting things, though. Philosophy included a course in aesthetics, and you learned, apparently, you know, about art and what was good about art. And one guy, old professor, I remember this so well. He considered himself a jazz aficionado, and he was teaching a class, and he's talking about swing and how music has to swing. And he said, here's an example of something that doesn't swing. And he played Sly and the Family Stone, Dance to the Music. You know, the swingin'est, most dancing-est record that was out there. And he
right.
said, "And but it had four beats on the snare, like a Motown record, you know. And he said, instead of two and four, he plays all four beats. He said, and then he has the nerve to ask his audience to dance to the music. How could... And I'm sitting there saying, I'm in the wrong...
Right, like this guy has no idea what he's talking about.
So I graduated, hung in, and I have a Bachelor of Arts degree, which came in very handy on the David Letterman show.
Yeah. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. 1-800-955-KLOS.
Are we going to take questions?
Well, we have Gary on the phone. He's been a fan of yours for 30 years.
I love it. What does he say?
Hello, Gary. You're on with Paul Shaffer.
Hey, Gary.
Good morning, Paul. Listen, you've been so funny for so long. Can you do your Cher impression?
Well, absolutely. What a great request. I used to do every Christmas on the Letterman show my impression of Cher singing Oh Holy Night on the Sonny and Cher Hour back, you know, in the 70s. Uh-huh. And it was, you know, a crazy show with a lot of reindeer and a lot of fun. And then things got serious and, you know, the lights came down and there was Cher in a beautiful Victorian overcoat under a street lamp, her hands in a muff. And I always got a big laugh on that.
Right.
Never understood why, but she was going to get serious and do Holy Night. Dum, dum. Okay, so it's something. It sounded something like this. It was serious, you know. Oh, holy night. That's so bright and shiny. And that was something that I used to do every single. Thank you for asking.
Hi, Gary.
One more question.
Yeah.
You sound a lot like Caitlyn Jenner. I no disrespect, but wow.
Caitlyn Jenner, thank you for that. But her voice is deeper. A little deeper than mine. Otherwise, yeah. Thanks for the compliment, though.
Oh, it was a slap and a tickle. There.
If you want to talk to Paul Shaffer, give us a call, 1-800-955-KLOS. Any requests or any memories that you have of the Letterman show? I got a question for you. If you were torturing someone with music, what track would you play over and over again?
How about this?
A six-year-old Paul Shaffer.
I don't know. You know what? I think there's something good about every kind of music.
Yeah.
You know, look at Wild Thing, like the most basic thing, but I could listen to that over and over again. Wild Thing, I think you'll move me. Who would think of doing Peter Lorre on a record in the first place? But I don't know. I can't answer that. I think it's all, there's something great. If any song is on the radio, there's a reason why it's there.
So you don't hear a song and go, oh my God, turn it. I hate that song.
Remember, I listen, no. I'm trying to figure out what it is that's great about this record. All right. There's always something.
Let's see what you can figure out about this one, because it's okay. Rebecca Black's 20th birthday today. You remember Rebecca Black.
Of course,
Black.
Of course, Friday.
It's Friday. Yeah.
All right. Positive
What's
comments?
Good about that? Well, she's doing a kind of a toasting rhythm in her voice. She's singing, but so it's got a rhythmic thing to it. She was a cute little girl, and she had the sense to stay out of show business after this record.
Right. I think died she down. Did follow up Saturday, and then she was done.
Yes,
weekend's
right.
over.
But remember, Katy Perry made a record called Friday, too, and which some people thought was a ripoff, but she let Rebecca Black perform in her video, and all was forgiven. But really, you know, Katy Perry is a shameless ripoff artist. No, I'm crazy about her. I'm just obsessed. I love Katy Perry.
Paul Shaver hanging out with us. So we got Matthew on the phone. He wants to ask how you got hired on SNL.
There were a lot of Canadians involved in SNL. The producer, Lorne Michaels, was from Toronto. He had a musical director, Howard Shore.
You have to do a Lorne Michaels, right?
Everyone does it, but I do everyone else doing it.
Right, yeah, right.
Let me hear your Lorne. You are kind of an impressionist.
I mean,
let me hear your Lorne.
Oh, God, Lorne Michaels. Paul Shaffer. I don't know if that's right at all.
Pretty good.
It's like who? And Mike Myers did him in Dr.
Of
Evil,
course.
Right, Mr.?
Was Dr. Evil, yeah.
Dr. Evil, yeah.
Here's my law. That's it. You know.
Nailed it.
Anyway.
It's like he's here.
Lorne had a band leader named Howard Shore, who's now an Oscar-winning movie composer. Howard was also from Toronto. I knew Howard from up there before I came to New York to play Broadway. When he came to New York to put together a band for SNL, he gave me a call. I was already in town. I already had friendships with Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, Belushi. A lot of them, you know, I had met as soon as I got to New York, some even in Canada, and I was a kind of a natural. I started working with the cast on musical numbers and stuff right away, and even got to perform a little bit. By the fifth season, I was what they call a featured player, which I guess is a way that like a supporting actor.
Right, right.
And Lorne is still a friend and still talks exactly the same way. It's not an exaggeration at all.
Paul Shaver with us. He's going to be performing with his band, World's Most Dangerous Band, this Saturday at the Saban Theater. For tickets, you can go to Ticketmaster.com. We got some more calls coming in, but let's take a quick break and check on traffic in 2 minutes with Lisa May. What's going on, Lisa?
Traffic report brought to you by...
Wake up, bitches. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Frost, Heidi, and Frank show, but it's now joining us in studio with us, Paul Shaffer, longtime music director for David Letterman, and he's going to be performing with his band, World's Most Dangerous Band, this Saturday at the Saban Theater. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com, and I just was informed that we have, five pairs of tickets to give away.
So, I love it.
Oh, nice.
And the phone lines are lit up. People want to talk to you, Paul, so let's just go to George on line two. George, I'm going to give you a pair of passes to see the World's Most Dangerous Band on Saturday, okay?
Oh, dude, no way.
Yeah, you're going to see it live. And you have a question for Paul?
Hi, George.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
All right.
I'm a huge fan, man. Dude, I love all your work. I love everything you do. But
what is
it like to be working with some of the greatest people in music history, especially rock?
Huge privilege. When I look back, I see that, you know, as far as the rock and roll era goes, I got to really play with it. I missed Elvis, you know, but other than that, I did pretty well. Playing with all the people from the era and talk about an education. It was fantastic.
Have you ever gotten really nervous where you're so, I know you mentioned James Brown, but where you're so into an artist where you're like, well, I don't know. I'm like feeling a little.
I don't know.
Feeling.
You know, I'm thinking about when Stevie Winwood had Higher Love and came on to play that song. And it was such a complicated song. And I was trying to play about three different keyboards at the same time, you know, and sing, give me a high at the same time. And it was almost impossible. And I remember, kind of trembling before we went on the air. Oh, my God, how am I going to
do it? Right.
And he was such an idol of mine anyway. But I remember he had a wonderful percussionist whose name escapes me right now, but she looked at me and just gave me a look like, you know.
You got this.
Let's go. Yeah, exactly. And yes, and we got to it. But he was one of the intimidating guys, and I guess Eric Clapton, too.
Do you have all of the performances at home someplace? Just,
no, I don't. But a lot of them are coming on YouTube now. Yeah. I just watch them, you know, just like everybody else, and see some things that I have absolutely no recollection of.
Is that
like,
weird?
Well, how could you? You know, yeah, there were so many shows. I'm supposed to have this great memory, but no, there are things that I don't remember. People that I don't even remember playing for. I hate to admit it.
Chris on line 3 has a question for Paul Schaefer. Hello, Chris.
Hey, hi. How are you doing? This is very exciting to speak with you, Mr. Schaefer.
Hi,
Chris. A great thrill.
Thanks a lot.
No, it's my pleasure. What I was wondering was how you happened to end up in Spinal Tap. I thought you were awesome in that movie, and you were just hilarious. It seemed like a departure from your normal, you know, work schedule.
Yes, although I love to act, you know, and do comedy. And that has drawn me to comics over the years, to, you know, befriending them and stuff. And one of my best friends is Harry Shearer, who was the bass player and co-writer of that. And he just got me in it. He said, Paul can do a promo man kind of guy, put him in the movie. And that's how I ended up in the movie. And I remember Harry saying, so you're going to come out, you know, it'll be on a Saturday. And I said, you'll be sending me the lines in advance. And he says, you'll be making them up, sir. I said, well, what do you mean? And it was that kind of movie. Well, it was the first of them, you know, the way Larry David works now and
Curb
stuff like that. And,
yeah.
Yes, where there's no lines written, just scene outlines. And that's the way Spinal Tap was.
I don't care how you get there, but just get to this place.
Exactly. You come in, so you're going to walk into the scene, and, you know, and by the end of it, you're going to be bending over yelling, kick my ass. That was my only direction, and I had to get from point A to point B. A lot of fun, though.
Chris, stay on hold. I'm going to hook you up.
You were awesome. Hey, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Don't hang up, Chris. I'm going to give you tickets to go see Paul and the World's Most Dangerous Band this Saturday, okay?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding
me? Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Stay on hold.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, look at that.
Thank you for that phony display of enthusiasm. But I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm glad you're going to come.
We got
us at the Saban.
Vicente on line 4. Hello, Vicente.
Hey, Frank. Hey, Paul. Hey, Heidi. Real thrill to talk to you, Paul.
Thank you, Vicente.
I noticed on the show that you did a lot of P-Funk, like Do That Stuff, and I think Cosmic Flop. And me and my son always go back and forth. Who's the bigger maggot brain, you or David?
Bigger maggot brain. Did you ever see the sketch we did on the parliaments and stuff? Back early when we had a character named Larry Bud Melman. Remember him. You know, he was sort of a guy who looked like a 75-year-old accountant.
Kind of looked like the guy, the cartoon character from Up.
Yes, anyway, and I gave them some facts, but... one of the writers came to me, and it was Meryl, actually, the head writer, Meryl Marco at the time, and she said, I want a thing where Larry Bud Melman spews a lot of facts about an obscure rock act. So I said, well, tell him to be talking about George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic and Eddie Hazel, and he was talking about all the obscure members of the thing, Maggot Brain this and, you know, Michael Hampton and all that stuff, and all this stuff coming out of Larry Bud Melman's, and I'm saying, how do you know this stuff? And then he takes out a revolver and robs me, and that was the whole sketch. But I certainly, and I was on one of those albums, a vinyl album of George Clinton, where they put me in a cartoon as a funketeer or something. I'm official, baby.
Really?
Thanks for asking. Yes.
Oh, wow. Well,
oh, we got to play with George Clinton many times, and of course the great Gary Scheider, his vocalist.
Gary Scheider, man.
Oh, who we love, you know. So that was just one of the greats, you know, and all his crew, you know, that I was privileged to get to work with. Yes, thanks for mentioning.
Yeah. Vicente, stay on hold. I'm going to send you to go see Paul on Saturday at the Saban Theater, okay?
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's got his own sound effects.
We got Don on line 5. Hello, Don.
Yeah, I was just curious. Grinch was on a lot on the show. How was it like? What was it like when he was on the show?
Who? Grinch?
Prince.
Oh, my Grinch. Goodness. Well, what an icon and an enigmatic performer, of course. I remember the first time he performed, he fell dead at the end of the song. Just fell down, you know, played dead, lying on the stage, and then was dragged off by a bodyguard. And that was the end of his of his number, and David came on to thank him. He wasn't there. He was dead, being dragged off, you know.
Like, he gave everything he had, and
That was the message. Yeah. Later on, I mean, he's very, you know, he barely talks to you, but later on, he did open up, and I had one evening with him, which was fantastic. He was very normal. He had so many different sides to him, but what a musical talent. I never really got to play with him, only to observe him and study him.
That is Prince's song Kiss is Frank's karaoke go-to.
I did sing that once in a
Can you sing up high like that in that falsetto range? Let me hear a little kiss.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
You don't have to be rich to be my girl. Oh, yeah. I got third place.
Blue my world. No particular sign.
I don't know the words.
Want some extra time in your kiss.
Oh, yeah. I just sing up high. Yes.
Pretty good.
I took third in a karaoke contest. Olivia Newton-John won, and Michael Bolton got second.
Well,
so,
you
know, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, you can't compete.
You
with
can't really.
Professionals.
Average guy. That.
All right, Don, you stay on hold. I'm going to give you tickets to go see Paul and the World's Most Dangerous Band at the Saban Theater this Saturday. Now, if you can't get through on the phone and win these tickets that I have, you can always go to Ticketmaster.com to purchase them. So stay on hold, Don. Let's see. We got, let's go to Holly on line six. Hello, Holly.
Oh, hi there. Hi, Paul.
Hello,
it's
Holly.
It's an honor to speak with you.
Thanks a lot.
And as a keyboardist and musician myself, I have the utmost respect for your abilities. I miss you and Dave tremendously. I just wanted to mention that. And I had a question for you because I've worn several hats in the music industry, including AR, and I really can't wrap my head around what is going on with the business right now, where they used to develop artists, and I was wondering if you could comment on the music business and the industry today.
I can't really comment. You know, I never really was in it. I was lucky enough to get a job in TV because the music business just stumped me. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And, of course, technology continues to change the art, as it always has, and it changed popular music, and now it's all about streaming, and, you know, kids don't really pay for music anymore. It's changed everything.
Right.
I don't know what else to say.
Okay. All right. I think that's true. It's something that's become, it's not tangible. It's out there in the air, and people think it's free.
Paul, you have a couple of kids.
Stay on hold, Holly. I'll hook you up with some tickets, okay?
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Holly. Thanks for calling in.
If you have a couple of kids, if they wanted to go into the music business, would you be like, maybe go?
Well, I mean, you know, of course we support our children, whatever they want to do. But like any parent, you know, you want to see your kids succeed. And there's a lot of competition, a lot of frustration. I always say to kids, not only my own, but any kid who wants to get any advice for somebody who wants to get in, I always say, don't do it unless there's nothing else you can do. And that's the way it was for me in college. I realized there was nothing else I could do. If there is, you'll probably end up doing it. That's
right.
That's the point of it. You got to take a lot of no's before you finally get that one yes. And now, I don't know, it's all different again, and you can't sell any records, so I wouldn't know where to start. My daughter is a future talk show host, of course. Yeah, because I was bringing her to the Letterman show when she was in the stroller. You know, I shouldn't be surprised. And my son has a sense not to go into show business.
If you could be a hybrid of any two animal species.
My goodness, what a crazy question. Why ask a question like that?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
He's a pot smoker.
There's a lot of music questions going on. I thought I'd throw in something completely different.
Well, I could see his eyes are glassing over.
Right. So he has what two animals would you be?
I'd be a grizzly shark.
I don't have a
grizzly bottom shark head?
I think I'd just be a hairy shark. Claws.
All right.
Are there still animals anymore? I don't know if there are. They stream them now.
You know, the animal business is so different.
I'll let you ponder that.
It's all streaming.
We got more calls coming in. Let's go to John on line seven. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing, sir?
I'm great. How you doing?
Oh, good. Just want to say I met you back in 2002 when I was out there in New York on the streets, and what a great guy that you really are.
Oh, thank goodness I came through. You never know what a guy's going to say.
How that story's going
to I met you. You were such an ass. But nice of you to say. Thank you.
I appreciate that. So quick question. Out of all the musical groups that came on the show, which one came on that you weren't really a big fan of or didn't really listen to that completely just blew your mind after they played?
You know, there are some answers to that that are yes, and I just can't remember, but yeah, you never knew. The thing about the Letterman show was interesting was you'd get these new groups. Everybody wanted to have the newest coming, you know, so a brand new band playing a song that nobody's ever heard before, and you don't, you know, you're not into it. You don't know the song. And then 6 months later, you might hear the song on the radio and say, oh, I think a band played that on our show. Oh, you know, I like that. You don't know it at the time. Sometimes that would happen.
Right.
Yeah.
John, stay on hold, buddy. I'm going to give you some tickets, okay?
Can you do me a favor, Frank, and the first vet that calls, can you give him the ticket for me?
All right, yeah. If you're a veteran and you'd like to go see Paul Schaefer.
Isn't that nice?
And the world's most dangerous band this Saturday at the Saban Theater, then you can get your tickets thanks to John.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, Ticketmaster.com if you don't get through on the phone and win your tickets right here. So let's go to Daniel on line 8. Hello, Daniel. Say hello to Paul Schaefer.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hello, Dad. Nice to see you. Nice to hear you. Well, really, just to hear you.
I have a quick question. You know, like there was a time where you played with the music guest at the on the Dave Letterman show.
Yeah.
Was it? You know, like was that something that they had to do? Like they had to agree to it if they wanted to play?
Well, I mean, nobody has to do anything, but certainly in the old days of the show, we had a little studio and we had a little band, and we were very informal. And we used to say, you know, if the people would come on, would play with our band, we would be able to give the audience something they're not going to see on MTV or anywhere else, you know, see them a little bit out of their element, and we had a lot of fun doing that. And later on, we got a bigger stage, you know, and bands would rather just come and do a little bit of their act, you know, that they do every night. And let's face it, they were bringing certain pre-recorded elements and stuff, you know, that even the rock bands are playing to computers now. It's a whole different world. You know, then it became more of, you know, we're there if you need us. And so people would still sometimes request to play with one or all of us, and sometimes not. And that was a great era, too.
Yeah, that was a great, I really like that part of the show.
No, thanks a lot. Thank you, Daniel. You must be really old.
How did you choose the intros and outros, which songs you were going to play in and out of the
just for break? You know, sometimes I would have an idea and you know, just try to play something funny or respectful or disrespectful, and I would have about a 10-minute rehearsal with the band before every show, and sometimes I would just say, Julie Roberts, what should we play? You know, anybody ideas? And anybody who would make me laugh, I'd say, oh, let's do that. You know, for Julie, of course, we just used to play Julia by the Beatles, and she really used to like it.
So we'd play that all the time. Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison, that'd be great.
Yes, yeah, so sometimes we would do that, or you know, when Ellen came out, we sang you know, Music to Watch Girls By or something, whatever. Well, you know, that was a big deal at the time. Nobody would care now, but. Those are the kind of things we were doing.
Tom on line 6 has a question for Paul Schaefer. Hello, Tom.
Hello. Hey, I was wondering, when you and Richard Belzer went to Gilbert Gottfried's house on Wife Swap, was that scripted, or was that really, you were surprised that because he's really cheap?
Well, well, first of all, we knew how cheap he was. He's notorious for it. But yes, the only script was just, you know, we come over and we have dinner. And somebody proposes a toast, so that ended up to be me. It was, yes, it was improvised, but at the bottom of it, we're all really good friends.
Oh, thanks. Well, please, can I win tickets for Saturday?
Oh, sure you can. Why not?
I want this man at my show.
Thank you.
Stay on hold.
Thank you. He has his own sound effects as well.
Beyond the music, because obviously you're skilled in that area, if there's one thing that you could learn without having to take any lessons for it, just instantly learn and be skilled at it, what would it be?
An instrument, you mean?
No, besides music. I mean, is there something that you wish, just like, if I could be a cook, I'd love to learn how to be a great cook like that.
Speak a foreign language without, I mean, just audio.
Psychoanalysis, I think. You know, I would have everyone lie down on a couch, and, I would analyze them, yes. And we all do it anyway. We do it amateur-wise anyway.
How was it growing up in Canada?
How was it?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like...
Well, it was cold. Absolutely cold. You have no idea being here in Los Angeles.
But everybody's really friendly. Every Canadian I've ever met, I'm just like, are you the nicest people ever?
Is it true?
And Americans are like, when they go up there, it's so clean.
Clean, friendly. Yeah.
And it is. It is a great country, a great place to grow up in. I was a good skier when I was a kid. You had to, you know, there was really nothing else. And tune into the radio at night. You know, maybe that sort of fueled my obsession with... music, American music, rock and roll music, just, you know.
It was your comfort.
It was a lifeline, really, up in Canada. And then, of course, at that time, if you wanted to be in show business and making a, you know, a mark, you really had to kind of leave the country.
Head south.
In my day, there was, you know, Gordon Lightfoot and the Guess Who. That was it as far as Canadians. Now there's a lot of Canadians on the scene. Yeah. It's so great to see. But I felt I had to leave the country. Nowadays, maybe I wouldn't have. I'm glad I did,
though. Do you go back and visit?
I go all the time, yes. Oh, yeah. I go, you know, and I go up to my hometown, Thunder Bay, about once
where
a year.
Where you're enormous, where you just say, people go crazy.
Oh, they named
you.
They named a street after me up there.
Really?
Paul Schaefer Drive, yeah. Fantastic. I got my own street in Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Dang.
Is it a long street or is it a couple blocks?
No, it's about my height, actually. You know?
It's like, you take a quick right down the Paul Schaefer Alley. Wait a second.
It's in front of the big, they have a lovely auditorium there.
Okay, so that's good.
Where a lot of rock acts come and play. And once in a while, I'll get a tweet, hey, we're playing your street, you know. Somebody just the other day went up there, whose name escapes me. But, yes, people still play up there and let me know they're playing on my street.
If you could give your younger self.
Oh, I know. Bonnie Raitt is up there. Hmm. Over the weekend was Bonnie Raitt and her band. A couple of guys said, we're on your street.
Nice.
Yeah, so go ahead. Give me another one.
Did you have an affair with Bonnie Raitt?
No, would you stop it? You made love to a girl playing a Bonnie Raitt song.
Oh, I get my stories mixed up.
See, 17 years, too long.
If you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice now, what would it be?
Gee, I don't know. You know, have better hair.
Care of your hair.
Well, I never had the right hair, you know, and especially when the Beatles came out and stuff, hair was so important.
When's the last time you had bangs?
I had bangs.
You did.
You know, when I had hair in college, I had the longest hair on the scene.
Yeah.
You know, and then things just changed, and it was Felicia from my band, from the Letterman band, the world's most. She said, shave your head, baby. And
because it's a look.
It really worked out. It's better. I never had the right hair. This is a better look for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't worry. I guess I'm living test. It doesn't matter what your hair is like. Look how well I've done.
Yeah, we're looking on the internet right now for a picture of you with the hair.
We need Paul Schaefer.
We do see it, yes.
No, don't about yes. Tweet it out to all your fans.
I'm with Felicia. Yeah, you did the right thing.
I did the right thing. Oh, I don't even want to see what it is.
Shaving that up.
It was just always, yeah. What are you going to do?
We all have those pictures.
1-800-955-5567 is the number. Let's go to Lyle on line 3. Hello, Lyle.
Hey, Frank. How's it going?
Pretty good. Say hello to Paul Schaefer.
Hello, Lyle. Hey, how are you?
Oh, I've been listening to you for years and years, man. I remember I really enjoyed your old Saturday night days and stuff. I was just wondering, you know, your experiences on Saturday night there. I was wondering, with the Blues Brothers and stuff, I was wondering if you got any crazy tales.
From the Blues Brothers? Oh, my goodness. Well, it was all pretty crazy. We had our own plane for that tour, 1980. It was a twin engine prop plane that was sure to go down in flames, and in a rock and roll disaster because we were just asking for it. We had Southerners in the band and contemporaries of Buddy Holly actually, and we said we're going down. So I said let's at least write the song about the disaster so that you know our progeny will have some kind of an income. And we used to sing as we would take off and land. Rock tragedy. All I had to do was spend a couple more G's because the plane was like just worth nothing, you know. And in that way, we warded off the evil spirits. So that's the one. That's at least a story that I can tell
that's
on the radio.
One, yeah.
Have you written a book? Have you thought about writing a book?
I did write a book. Yes, a couple. I don't know, 5-6 years ago. It was called "We'll Be Here for the Rest of Our Lives," which I used to say, you know, working playing live music in a strip club up in Toronto. At the end of it, and kind of semi-embarrassed, but semi-excited at the same time, and wrapping it up at the end is, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been great having you all here. Come back and see us. We'll be here for the rest of our lives. And basically, you know, I am still doing it.
Paul Schaefer, thank you so much for coming in. I'll be performing live with his band, World's Most Dangerous Band, this Saturday at the Saban Theater. For tickets, you can go to Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, come and see us with Valerie Simpson and Martin Short this Saturday night.
Nice.
It's going to be a great show. Anytime, come back through here, okay?
Thank you, guys.
For you, Paul.
A lot of fun.
All right, Lisa May, give us some traffic in 2 minutes.
There's a pileup on the 101.
There's always a pileup on the 101. This traffic report is brought to you by